So good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to our FreeCL seminars. This is our first FreeCL seminar of the Lent term, and we're delighted to be starting the term on such a high note. It's a great pleasure to welcome today's speaker, Dr. Clara Martins-Pereira. Dr. Pereira is an associate professor of financial law at Durham University. She's also global associate professor at the University of Notre Dame and invited professor at Cattolica Lisbon School of Law. Her interdisciplinary work sits at the intersection of financial law and regulation, technological innovation, and sustainable development. Alongside her extensive academic experience, Clara has also worked as a consultant for several international organizations, including the World Bank and ISF. And today she will be speaking to us on a highly timely and important topic, artificial intelligence and the future of financial stability, regulatory and supervisory gaps in the UK framework. Thank you very much, Clara. It's usually around 30 minutes, 30 to 40 maximum, and then we'll do the Q&A. So I'll just pass the floor to you. Thank you.
All right. Hello, everyone. My name is Clara. I'm very excited to be here. So thank you so much to Naureen and Felix for inviting me, and thank you to the 3CL Center for hosting me as well. As Naureen was saying, today I will discuss the impact of AI on financial stability and the regulatory implications, with a particular focus on the UK. And essentially, I'll be examining two interconnected research questions. On the one hand, how does the use of AI in finance impact financial stability? On the other hand, whether current UK regulatory and supervisory frameworks appropriately address this complex relationship between AI and financial stability. First, I will discuss the transformation of finance by technology more generally and AI in particular. I will then examine the relationship between AI and financial stability. And finally, I will analyze the UK's approach to the impact of AI on financial stability. I'll start with what I think is a fairly uncontroversial statement, that AI is significantly transforming the financial sector. And this is hardly surprising. Finance has always been particularly susceptible to the transformative power of technology. And we can sort of think about finance, I mean, this is very disturbing imagery, and I do apologize for it, but we can think about finance as sort of the canary in the coal mine when it comes to technology, in the sense that finance often feels the opportunities and risks of new technology long before other sectors. And there's a number of reasons, there are a number of reasons for that. Finance very often deals with intangible assets that might be more easily transformed by technology. It deals with products and services that are very often opaque credence goods, which gives financial institutions a little bit more leeway in terms of experimenting with them in ways that the market might not immediately appreciate. And of course, finance is made up of sophisticated, profit-motivated players that often have the expertise and the funding necessary to extract as much from technology as possible. So I feel very privileged to work on fintech regulation, because I think looking at fintech gives us a lot of material, and it gives us, I think, sort of very often a glimpse into the future of how technology, of what technology might mean for other areas even beyond finance. Back to finance, as I was saying, it's hardly surprising that AI has become such a powerful transforming force in finance. Technology has been supporting finance for a number of years, since the telegraph was first used to wire transfers of money in the 19th century. Obviously, in the 50s, we had computers and other telecommunication technologies transforming finance. And now we have important new technologies like DLT and blockchain and AI and, you know, and sort of quantum computing looming on the horizon. But fintech is also more than just these flashy technologies. And it also includes, you know, things like cloud computing or APIs or the internet. So when we think about finance, it's tempting to think about fintech as evolution rather than revolution. And I think to some extent that is true, but I think also that every once in a while there comes along a type of technology that is so that feels so transformative, so paradigm shifting, that using the word revolution is or feels somewhat justified. And I think that might just be the case with AI. For starters, the raw numbers are very impressive. In the UK, more than 75% of the financial sector is already using AI in the provision of financial products and services. And this is data from 2024 from a survey conducted by the FCA and the Bank of England. It's a survey that then also predicted that a further 10% of players were planning on using AI within the next 3 years. So it's safe to say that this 75% figure is fairly conservative. But it's not just about quantity, as you can see. It's also that the use cases of AI and finance stretch across the entire financial sector, from asset management to retail banking to trading. So, you know, AI is basically everywhere. But why should us lawyers care about that? We should care about it because this transformation of finance by AI comes with both significant opportunities and significant risks. And of course, we want to make sure that we have the necessary regulatory and supervisory tools in place that allow us, or that give us the best chance to make the most out of these opportunities while still addressing the risks created by AI. Now, this is a bit of an oversimplification, obviously, just because an activity or a technology-fueled activity, just because it creates risk doesn't mean necessarily that we have to regulate it. Obviously, we need to first look into whether the risk is already sufficiently addressed by private parties or whether we have market failures that need addressing. And even if we do have a market failure, we need to check whether we have the necessary regulatory tools that address that market failure, whether we need to create new tools or whether the tools we have are enough and we just need to figure out the right combination between those tools. And then finally, we need to consider the costs of regulatory intervention. And this is because regulating and enforcing regulation isn't a costless activity, but also crucially because the substance of these rules involves important costs and trade-offs. And this is also where the opportunities created by AI come in. And again, looking at both risk and opportunity is particularly important when it comes to the regulation of technology, because of course regulation is never costless, but especially when it comes to technology, policymakers often find themselves in this kind of constrained decision space where they have to make decisions that allow them to or that might allow them to achieve multiple goals, but typically they might only be if we sort of group these goals into these three categories: safety, innovation, and clear and consistent rules, it's likely that they will only be able to achieve one or at most two of these goals. So, you know, either your rules are, you know, clear and consistent and pro-innovation, and this might look more like a sort of wait and see approach, or your rules are clear and consistent, but more pro-safety, and you can have sort of broader AI prohibitions or very restrictive rules. Or you can try to ensure both innovation and safety, in which case you might end up with a very complex set of rules that people might struggle to make sense of. And to an extent, that is a little bit what we see with the EU AI Act, which probably falls a little bit more on the safety than on the pro-innovation side. But nevertheless, you know, it is a beast of a regulation with over 100 articles. Now, what does this mean for the use of AI in finance and for the use of and for the regulation of AI in finance? It basically means that we need to look both at opportunities and risks. And I'm specifically interested today in looking at the opportunities and risks created by AI, specifically in the context of systemic risk and financial stability. Which brings us to sort of the first question that my paper addresses, which is how does the use of AI in finance impact financial stability? And existing literature suggests that this is a bit of a mixed contribution. On the one hand, it seems clear that the use of AI in finance can exacerbate existing vulnerabilities, and it can do that in a number of ways. It can do that perhaps most clearly by through the malicious and problematic use of AI, leading to the deliberate creation of market stress. We've seen examples of this in the past. In 2023, for instance, an AI-generated image of an explosion near the Pentagon was posted to social media, and this caused a bunch of very fast algo traders to react to this information, and it caused a brief but still notable $500 billion dip in the S&P 500. And there's all sorts of interesting examples of instances of market manipulation involving algorithmic technology, from quote stuffing to spoofing to layering. But of course, AI can also exacerbate financial instability through non-malicious channels. First, the use of AI can inadvertently lead to market misconduct whenever the goals of AI programmers and developers on the one hand, and then the goals of the algorithms themselves become misaligned. And we have early empirical evidence of algorithms learning, for instance, that tacitly colluding to manipulate the market might be the best way to comply with their profit maximization goals. Even if programmers only give algorithms sort of these profit maximization goals, they might learn that manipulating the market is the best way to address them. And there's also very recent empirical evidence of large language models, for instance, obtaining insider tips and then acting upon them, despite knowing that insider dealing is prohibited. Despite knowing that insider dealing is actually disapproved by company management, and then they lie to company management when confronted with it. Secondly, the use of AI in finance can also lead to players relying on misinformed AI, on AI that is vulnerable to biases, that is vulnerable to model drift. And these biases and these drifts might not be immediately apparent to market players because of the black box nature of some types of AI. So, you know, you might have a model that is trained during good times, but that might fail to predict or react to sudden low probability, high impact black swan type events if it hasn't been trained on the right type of data. And then finally, the use of AI in finance can contribute to financial instability to the extent that financial institutions might rely on similar models, on similar data, third-party providers to support their AI infrastructure. And this creates problems for two reasons. First of all, it can contribute to pro-cyclical herding as similar AI models used by different institutions might reach a similar conclusion at the same time, and you can have, especially because they're so fast, you can have, all these algorithms buying or selling at the same time, which can lead to liquidity crisis and flash crash type phenomena. And then secondly, the reliance on a handful of third-party providers means that failure, in particular, failure coming from cybersecurity vulnerability, can also have significant impact across the entire system. Crucially, at the same time that the use of AI in finance can contribute to systemic risk, it can also help stabilize the financial system. It can do that by reducing the risk of human error, by enhancing overall operational resilience of financial institutions. It can be used to improve risk management, to improve regulatory compliance and supervision through RegTech and SubTech technologies. And again, there's a bit of very recent evidence that AI facilitates, in particular, the management of systemic risk and can help banks reduce systemic risk by both improving their perception capabilities, but also, crucially, promoting diversification. So basically, in other words, the use of AI has sort of this mixed impact on financial stability, where it can both be used for good or for bad. And looking at both these risks and opportunities leaves us with a very complex challenge. It's not that AI is overall good or overall bad for financial stability. But it's rather that the impact of AI on financial stability depends on how regulatory and supervisory authorities in particular choose to regulate and engage with the use of AI in finance, both how they choose to regulate it, but also crucially how they choose to enforce those rules. And this and ultimately this ability to deal with the relationship between AI and finance should be assessed by the ability of policymakers to address the risks without giving up on the opportunities, but also by the ability to achieve the right balance between promoting financial innovation, ensuring financial stability, and using rules that are as clear and consistent as possible. So how has the UK been attempting to deal with this complex challenge? The first question, of course, for regulators and supervisors is always sort of determining whether there's something here that is worth looking at. And it would seem that the risks created by the use of AI in finance for financial stability, that the systemic risks created by the use of AI in finance have been recognized by UK policymakers, even if their precise nature and impact are still being assessed. And in a recent report from the Bank of England, the Bank of England warns that against the use of AI to inform trading and investment decisions, noting that it could also lead to market participants inadvertently taking actions collectively in such a way that reduces stability. And they warn against that instability potentially affecting the cost, the availability and cost of funding for the real economy, so having wider economic impact. And likewise, the committee that has been recently looking into the impact of AI in financial services has noted that AI poses significant risks for financial stability. And I think the words of Dame Meg Hillier, the chair of this committee, are particularly expressive when she says that she doesn't feel confident that our financial system is prepared if there was a major AI-related incident, and she finds it worrying. But of course, recognizing that the use of AI in finance creates threats for financial stability doesn't necessarily mean that regulatory intervention is desirable. First of all, it doesn't mean that the market can't adequately address these risks on their own, or that the rules that we have in place aren't already enough to address these risks. Now, I would argue that market players are generally bad at dealing with systemic risk on their own, and that's because systemic risks are classic examples of negative externalities. So, individuals and institutions might not have a tendency to internalize these externalities on their own, and we typically need to correct them through either, regulation or taxation. But it could also be that we have the rules in place already to address the systemic risk created by the use of AI in finance, which leads me to the main research question underlying the paper, which is whether current UK regulatory and supervisory frameworks appropriately address the complex relationship between AI and financial stability. Now, this is part of a sort of broader discussion, or it falls under the umbrella of a broader discussion, which is how to regulate AI. And we've seen that different jurisdictions have very different approaches to this problem. We see everything from sort of a wait and see approach in the US, for example, where although we see some state initiatives, there has been significant pushback at federal level, with President Trump, for example, revoking President Biden's executive order. And then we have the EU sort of going all in on AI with the AI Act. Now, this has not been the approach adopted by the UK so far. So far, the UK's approach, I think, sits sort of between the US and the EU approach. The Treasury Committee, looking at the use of AI in finance, characterized it as a wait-and-see approach. I think it's probably somewhere in the middle between the US and the EU, but it is, in any case, a very flexible approach that rests on a very flexible definition of AI. And it's also what we could call a sectoral approach to AI regulation. So instead of applying these horizontal rules across the economy like the EU, the UK essentially leaves the regulation of AI to individual sectors, to where essentially competent authorities in each of these sectors map out, or have been asked to map a series of AI principles into their existing regulatory frameworks and essentially check whether they need updating. What conclusion have they reached when it comes to financial sector and the financial sector and financial stability? In a report published just last month, again, by the Treasury Select Committee looking into the use of AI in finance, both the Bank of England and the FCA are said to have stated that the existing regulatory frameworks offer sufficient protection for consumers and financial stability against the risks posed by AI. And the Bank of England notes specifically that regulators' supervision of AI needs to be about dealing with the impact of situations when they occur. So the focus of policymakers should be on sort of ex post enforcement of existing rules rather than on the approval or the development of new rules. Now, I don't entirely agree with this evaluation by the FCA and the Bank of England. I think that existing regulatory and supervisory frameworks are a good starting point. I don't think there's urgent change that is needed here, but I think that there is a bit of room for improvement. And before getting into it, it's worth sort of just briefly going over the rules that we do have in place and which are all sort of purported to be technology neutral. So what do we have? We have essentially MiFID II and relevant regulatory technical standards, which essentially impose a series of requirements, a series of obligations on traders engaged in algorithmic trading and AI trading, that also imposes rules on execution intermediaries, and that also imposes rules on trading venues whenever these institutions either engage in algo trading or facilitate algo trading or host algo trading. We have the model risk management principles for banks, which basically subjects the management of models to a series of principles. And models here are quantitative methods that essentially apply rules and assumptions to process data into outputs, right? So they're sort of algorithmic models. And these principles essentially require firms to identify models, identify model risk, and monitor, and continuously monitor model risk. We also have operational resilience frameworks that essentially require firms to identify important business services. And these are business services that, if they are disrupted beyond a particular impact tolerance, that could cause, which means that basically that they could cause harm to consumers or harm to firm safety and financial stability. Once firms have sort of identified these important business services, then they need to kind of strengthen their ability to prevent and recover from operational disruptions to these important business services. We have the FCA's new consumer duty, which is which basically requires firms to deliver good outcomes for retail consumers, and obviously to the extent that AI is used in the development of these products and services, firms need to ensure that the outcomes are, you know, non-discriminatory and so on and so forth. So this has relevance for AI as well. We have the senior managers and certification regime, which essentially requires firms to map specific responsibilities to senior individuals. And this essentially ensures that all areas of a firm's activities are have someone who is held responsible for any failures, including AI failures. We have a third-party risk management framework, which sets out the requirements that govern how investment firms manage their individual third-party dependencies. And then on the other side of this, we have a critical third-parties regime that allows UK policymakers to designate certain service providers as critical if their failure could threaten the stability of the entire system. And it is widely expected that AI providers and cloud providers will be designated as critical third parties under this regime. Now, this is a very rich regime, of course. It's worth keeping in mind that none of these rules, or most of these rules, haven't really been designed with AI or AI use cases in mind. And I think it shows a little bit. But it is nevertheless a good starting point for addressing the systemic risk created by AI. MiFID includes three lines of defense against systemic risk created by the use of algorithms and AI technologies in trading at the trader level, at the intermediary, trading intermediary, execution intermediary level, and at the trading venue level. The combination of model risk management and operational resilience frameworks also creates a system that tries to ensure both the accuracy of algorithmic outputs and that critical business services relying on those outputs can withstand and recover from disruption. The senior managers and certification regime is important to ensure that any AI failure will always sort of fall within the scope of a senior manager's responsibility. And the critical third parties regime will become an important piece of this puzzle as soon as the UK government designates AI and cloud providers as critical third parties. But crucially, I also think that the regime has a few weaknesses. First of all, it is a complex, fragmented regime that is, I think, being held back a little bit by an unhealthy obsession with the idea of technology neutrality. And I think a binary approach to technology neutrality. Technology neutrality isn't really a binary state, it's a matter of degree. And when you look at things like MiFID, at rules like the rules included in MiFID II, for instance, they do contain rules specifically applicable to the use of algo trading and AI trading technologies, even high-frequency trading in some cases. And second, I would say that, you know, of course, we want to have in place future-proof frameworks, but we also can't just treat AI like any other tool. And this is because AI has a number of specific features that aren't adequately taken into account by existing frameworks and make these frameworks, I think, a poor fit to address AI, AI-created systemic risk. And I'm specifically talking about opacity, autonomy, and adaptability. Adding a bit more detail. So in terms of disclosure requirements and internal control systems, broadly, I think that they are a poor fit for AI's opacity and for mapping out the systemic risk created by interactions between algorithms deployed by different firms. So I think the first problem here with current disclosure requirements is that they were very much put in place when we only have when we only had sort of simple if-when algorithms. And so, for example, firms are required to keep an inventory of their algorithms, of their algorithmic trading strategies. But because learning algorithms can change their nature and can change their strategies without any change to code, then that poses a bit of a problem for investment firms. Investment firms are also asked to disclose trading parameters or limits. But again, this is much easier with simple algorithms than with potentially opaque algorithms who first of all have many more parameters and whose parameters might change as they evolve and learn. And relatedly, most of our existing reporting obligations fail to mandate explainable AI metrics. And this could result, I think, in the over-disclosure of either the over-disclosure of excessively technical information that information receivers might not really be able to understand, or conversely lead to such high-level sort of disclosure, the disclosure of such high-level narratives that they don't really allow for effective supervision. And strictly speaking, unless we designed AI-tailored reporting obligations that take into account, in particular, the difference between transparency and explainability, we might be left with a regime that tacitly accepts opaque black box models despite their lack of transparency, that tacitly favors accuracy and efficiency at the expense of explainability without making that trade-off very explicit, and for that reason, without making that trade-off easily contestable. I think the second problem with disclosure and internal control system requirements under existing frameworks is that they focus excessively on firm-specific disclosure and control systems. Of course, the problem with AI is that emergent behaviors might not be a part of the original programming, and crucially might only arise when AI systems begin to interact with other systems. And we have requirements under MiFID to require that basically require firms to assess the impact of their algorithms on the market as a whole. But it is unclear how they might in practice actually test for these algorithm-to-algorithm interactions. And then the third problem with current disclosure requirements is that most, not all, but most reporting requirements are internal. So disclosures to the regulator are typically periodical or made only upon request. And there is also no requirement to share this information with competent authorities in other jurisdictions, which means that no one really has sort of a holistic view of contagion channels. The idea here is still very much the microprudential idea that if individual firms are safe, then the system will be safe. But we know that that is not necessarily true. In terms of ex post risk containment tools, I think that we have a system that is a little bit at odds with AI's autonomy and with the speed at with which AI-related feature failures can spread across the market. Of course, current regulatory frameworks do impose ex ante tools that minimize the risks arising from this autonomy, and that creates a considerable degree of regulatory friction, but it doesn't fully address the ex post consequences of systemic failure. These consequences are typically addressed through circuit breakers, but the problem with the circuit breakers requirements under MiFID II is that they don't really specify the operational details of these circuit breakers to any extent. And simple circuit breakers that used to be a good fit for high-frequency trading algorithms are a poor fit for AI systems that can sort of anticipate and develop strategies to circumvent these circuit breakers and you know, potentially contributing to added volatility as opposed to decreased volatility. My sort of final point is that current model risk and operational resilience frameworks are also a poor fit for AI's adaptability and for the fact that failure again can arise from not just model drift, but parallel model drift of algorithms used by different firms. First of all, existing operational resilience frameworks focus only on sudden as opposed to gradual failure, so they're not really able to address the gradual consequences of model drift. Then we have model risk frameworks that do attempt to address model drift, in particular through continuous monitoring requirements, but they are again solely focused on how model drift poses risk to a firm's business activities and safety. And for that reason, again, they are unlikely to capture how AI models used by different firms might drift in correlated ways. And I think an additional problem of keeping the focus on individual firms is that if, because of the existing rules, firms start adopting similar procedures for model risk classification, testing, and adjustment, they might actually start converging. That might also contribute to them converging on similar models, which obviously amplifies the potential for these models to drift in similar correlated ways. And some of these issues are partly addressed by the critical third parties regime, but of course, we haven't seen the designation of AI and cloud providers as critical third parties. And even if regulators do focus on critical AI providers, their control might not extend to the data used by these models to the extent that they come to the regulator already trained on the same data sets. So ultimately, I suggest that even though the UK regulatory and supervisory framework, as we have it right now, doesn't leave systemic risk or the systemic risk created by AI unaddressed, I still think that it can be strengthened, and I suggest that UK policymakers should sort of get over their strict interpretation of the principle of technology neutrality. They should abandon their current wait-and-see approach and recognize that AI-specific frameworks might be necessary to tackle the systemic risk created by the use of AI in finance. I also suggest that new or existing macroprudential tools need to be approved or strengthened. And I suggest that mapping out and clarifying the framework applicable to firms developing or deploying AI for automated decision-making in finance would be helpful here. In practice, this could look like introducing explicability requirements in AI-related disclosure. It could look like requiring firms to label financial products with the type of AI that they use. I think we need to strengthen external as opposed to internal disclosure requirements, and strengthen cooperation between relevant authorities in this area. And there have been recent developments between the UK and the EU at the critical third-party regime level. Potentially, we need to consider whether we should recalibrate capital and liquidity requirements of financial institutions as AI use becomes more widespread, potentially looking at additional capital buffers to address intensive AI use in particular financial institutions. We might want to introduce AI-specific stress testing to build firms' readiness for AI-driven market shocks. This in addition to the tests we have already, and AI-specific stress testing could look at things like data poisoning or prompt injection, which is things that we don't really do at this point. I think we want to look into strengthening circuit breaker requirements, in particular requiring the introduction of dynamic circuit breakers, which we to an extent see in the market already. But it might be worth requiring the introduction of dynamic circuit breakers as the baseline. We might want to issue AI-specific guidance for regulated firms. This is something that also came out of the sort of recent call for evidence and the recent report issued by the Treasury Committee looking into the use of AI in finance. Obviously, it's widely expected that major AI and cloud providers will be designated as critical third parties, but this is an important step that we need to take. And potentially financial regulation authorities need to strengthen their work with competition authorities to increase competition between AI and cloud providers. In terms of enforcement, relevant authorities might want to consider investing in and adopting more AI-powered subtech, potentially by reinforcing relationships with private sector AI, especially, I think, when it comes to circuit breakers. At the same time, they have to remain alert to the risks arising from the use of AI in compliance and supervisory processes, because obviously there's the risk here of this doing more harm than good. But this speaks to the importance of taking into advantage the proven opportunities created by AI in terms of helping institutions manage or helping supervisors monitor systemic risk. Sorry, this was a bit closer to 40 minutes than 30, but that's basically it. I'd very much welcome questions and comments, also because it's my first time presenting the paper, so it's still at a fairly early stage. So any questions you have for me, any comments would be very welcome. Thank you so much for sitting through this. Thank you.